Most times when I stand here, I bring you a word on some particular aspect of the gospel. We'll listen to a text from Scripture that deals with a particular issue or application of our faith. It may be about prayer, or about what it means to be the church together, or about some issue of justice or compassion in our world. Or we may take a Bible story and see how that story dramatizes a particular piece or angle of our faith experience. Maybe a story about what it means that a child of God offers pain to God, or what it means that we respond to the call to mission. It's good for us to take these slices of the gospel and study them carefully so we can live the whole faith more truly. But there are some texts in Scripture that don't allow this. There are some texts that don't give a piece or an angle on the gospel. What they offer instead is a breathtaking aerial view of the whole vast landscape of our faith. There are some times in Scripture, that there are some lines in Scripture that rise like mountains to show us the whole dizzying magnitude of God's Word to us. For example, the first chapter of John's Gospel is such a mountain. So is the 8th chapter of Romans. And our text today, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, is a mountain too. It makes a preacher even more useless than usual. I can't break this down into little pieces that we can all take home with us. All we can do is point to this mountain and be stunned by it, humbled by it, and called by it to come live in a higher place than most of us have been living. One day Jesus, seeing a great crowd of people, climbed a mountain, sat down with his disciples, and began to teach. And the first words he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount are like a great sweeping overview of everything that he taught about what it means to be God's children. In just 10 verses, we're given a soaring summary of the life of Christian faith. It's often said that the Beatitudes are the New Testament's equivalent of the Ten Commandments. And I understand why people say this, but notice there are some differences. First, the Beatitudes give no specifics. The commandments specify, don't murder, don't lie, don't kill, so on. The Beatitudes go to a deeper place in the heart. They seek to reshape who we are from the inside out. Jesus seeks to change us, not so much from the outside in, as from the inside out. He knows that if our hearts are ever recreated, that the daily decisions of specifically how we act will follow. Second, the commandments speak in the language of law. But Jesus' Beatitudes speak in the language of song. He begins his great sermon with words that are in poetic form. And it's true that the way of Jesus is less like living under a code and much more like offering your life to God, like a song. And notice most of all that the content of those words is sheer joy. The Word of God in other places says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. But when Jesus begins his great teaching, the note sounded is of great delight. We really don't have a word in English to translate the word Jesus used to begin each of the Beatitudes. In old translations, he says, blessed are they. But that sounds like stained glass to many people now, and doesn't communicate his original exuberance. In newer translations, he says, how happy they are. But to our ears, happy is a word for feelings. And what Jesus means is far beyond feelings. So what does it mean when he sings out, blessed are they, or happy are they? The word has a sense of heartily congratulating, of honoring and cheering, of powerfully lifting someone up, pronouncing the smile of God on them, and promising a bright destiny beyond this life. George Buttrick suggested the word could be rendered bravo, joy. Short story writer Mary Gordon recently wondered if when Jesus pronounced the blessing, it was, quote, like being knighted. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't launch his teaching with instruction, admonition, doctrine, or ideas. He begins by shouting mazel tovs, handing out bouquets, cheering people. Of all the ways he might have begun, what he chose was like saying to them, bravo, joy. Now that much in itself is surprising, but the real shocker comes in the kinds of people he's cheering. In Barbara Brown Taylor's words, quote, a list of losers. Types who go mostly unnoticed, and when they are noticed, are generally passed over or worse. Bravo joy, he sings over people who live at the bottom of the heap. We think we know where to look for happiness, but Jesus declares a different list of those to whom the ultimate happiness really belongs. And the winners are the poor in spirit, spiritual beggars, those who see they've got nothing, who have let go or lost what they once clung to, and now have nothing left. Joy to you if your pride has taken a fall, if you've known failure and have nothing to show but your need for God's grace, congratulations, you are empty enough to be filled. And so you shall be. And cheers for those who mourn, those whose hearts have broken for the death of great dreams, the death of loved ones, those who grieve the world's madness and suffer because others suffer, bravo, joy to you. The wound in you makes larger space for the love of God, and you shall be comforted. And congratulations to the meek. You who refuse to be aggressive or controlling, but are teachable and usable, how happy you are. You don't grasp for power or fear it, but give your consent to love's power alone. Congratulations, you shall inherit the earth. And those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, how grand they are. You who want more than anything for God's goodness to flourish everywhere. You who ache for that goodness in yourself and in this world, you are blessed and you shall be satisfied. Let's hear it for the merciful. Those who risk their love on failures, who bear warm compassion toward the poor, the defeated, the guilty. How happy they are, for in opening to compassion, they find compassion also for themselves. They shall obtain mercy. And how happily blessed are the pure in heart, those whose will isn't split in a dozen different directions, whose hearts, in Dietrich Bonhoeffer's words, are undefiled by their own evil and by their own virtues too. Listen, to look in all directions at once is to see nothing. But cheers for those whose pure, single gaze is on the light, for they shall see God. And kudos to the peacemakers who lay themselves down like a bridge to those who are estranged or excluded or unforgiven, seeking justice, peace, reconciliation. They do the godliest work in the world. Bravo, joy! They shall be called the children of God. And if you suffer for any of this, congratulations all the more. How blessed you are when people revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on my account. It's what the world repeatedly does to those who live Jesus' love and truth. And you will never be closer to God than when you pay a price for bearing witness to the light. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Your reward is great in heaven. So there they are, the unlikeliest heroes. Jesus opened his ministry in song for them. Did you hear him call your name? His role of the ultimately happy. Were you on the list? Spiritual beggar, mourner, meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, persecuted. Did he call your name? Well, actually, yes. He did call your name. Because the Beatitudes are not just blessings on certain wonderful people. They're invitations to come forward and take our place among them. Come and stand among spiritual beggars, mourners, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the others. And please notice, when Jesus describes them, it's not so much in terms of what they do, but in terms of who they are. The fellowship of the Beatitudes is not a fellowship of acting, but of being and becoming, which is to say, to take our daily place with Christ, by whom more and more through time we become the blessed. And we become the blessing. Put it differently, these qualities of personhood lifted up by Jesus are a portrait of a human being fully and beautifully alive. Study it, and you will see his features: utter freedom, calm faith, infinite compassion, gentleness and ferocity of spirit, indomitable gladness, a brilliance, a blessing. The Beatitudes show us that portrait, and across the top of it is written, "These are your features in God's embrace. It's what I see you becoming." So congratulations. Bravo. Joy. Amen.